Oh, hallelujah, praise God. Oh, wow, you guys are not very encouraging today. All right, so who here is excited for Christmas? Who here knows what they're getting already? All right, what are you getting? Shout some stuff out. Pardon? Okay, what else? Oh, what are you getting? A phone, come on. Who is getting a brand new phone? All right, if we could put up my slides for me, that would be brilliant. So for today, we are, even though this is a Christmas celebration, I'm talking about the real reason for Christmas. All right, this is a genuine question. Hopefully you all know the answer. Why do we celebrate Jesus? Nope. I've said the answer to that. Why do we celebrate Christmas? Jesus. Because of Jesus. The life of Jesus, he lived a perfect life and he came to give us peace. Who here sometimes struggle with finding inner peace inside? Who let stress, worry, fear, anxiety just sometimes fall reign supreme in their heart? And that is something we all struggle with, but Christmas is again a cool reason, a great reason to remember our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so if we can go to my next slide, please. We are celebrating Christmas, as I said. My idea of presents, not my idea of presents, what I get now every year is socks. Who here is happy about socks? You know what? If my family didn't get me socks, I wouldn't have any socks. Because I do not buy my own. My family buy me socks every year. All of my socks are only because of Christmas. So if they didn't give me any socks this year, I would be in dire need for new socks. But Christmas is a time of remembering what Jesus has done. But I am so, so excited about it. But Jesus, he is the reason for the season, as you call it. He is the reason why we celebrate Christmas, because he was born. But sometimes, especially now, there are people, some of you who may be going through mock exams or whatever, or picking your GCSEs, and it brings in a lot of worry, it brings a lot of stress, and it brings in a lot of like drama in your life. If we can go to the next slide, I'm going to share a story of what happened to me. Sadly, this isn't me, but who here remembers lockdown? Who here remembers lockdown? Oh, boo, it was a terrible time. So just after lockdown finished, and you can hang around in a group of six, my brother Chris, who is an avid fisherman, he loves going fishing four, five, six, seven times a year, and I've never been in my life, okay? So he invited me to go fishing, and he's my older brother, and I'm very competitive. I don't know if you can tell, but I'm very competitive. So even though I've never touched a fishing rod before, I was like, I'm going to catch a bigger fish than you. I'm going to catch more than you. I'm going to do much better than you. You're not going to catch anything. And what I was hyping myself up. Do any of you give yourself a pep talk when you're about to do something to like give yourself more energy? That's what I do. I feed off of that sort of thing. So when I'm competing with my brothers, it's what gives me my energy. And I was pretty much saying to him, I'm going to catch a bigger fish than you. I'm going to do more fishing and I'm going to catch more fish than you. Did I do that? No, sadly not. I lost to my brother. He caught like seven or eight. I caught zero that day. Absolutely dreadful. But on my way, we're in the car and we were talking back and forth. He was giving me tips on how to throw the rod out. And what happened was, as we got there, my first throw with the line, I thought was going to be amazing. He gave me the technique. He showed me the technique. I threw the rod. It's meant to go far and down. What happened for me, it went straight up and about three steps this way, and it landed barely in the water. And so I was telling myself, I'm going to be terrible at this. It's going to be a long day. I'm going to lose to my brother. And I started getting a negative mindset. And my next few throws were dreadful. It would go straight down. It would go up. It would just be terrible throws. So I went off in a heap. I was like, you know what? Stuff it. I'm going to sit down at the side. I'm not going to go fishing anymore. And I lost my peace. I lost my hope. I had my hope in my fishing. I've never been fishing before, but for some reason, my hope for the day was to be good at fishing. And I wasn't. And so I sat down in the corner, well, on the field behind us, and I was just all negative Nancy, pretty much saying, this is going to be horrible, this is going to be bad. I don't know why I'm here, it's useless. It's not like I can eat the fish anyway. Who here likes fish? Who here likes to eat fish? I love a good fish and chips. But sometimes I got in my head on that day and I was like, I can't even eat this fish. So what's the point? And then I told him, this is, and I quote, this is what I said, or not, well, some words are different, but this is along the lines I said. I said, what is the point of fishing? You cannot eat the fish. So I was like, you know what? Imagine a family of fish just minding their own business. Two daughters or two sons or a daughter and a son, their mum and dad, they're swimming in the lake and they're talking to their mum and they're facing forward, talking to their mum, facing forward, and suddenly, boom, where's mum gone? Mum's gone. And then just for me to hold her in my hand is like, oh, this is nice. Nah, never mind, put it back in the water. And so we're just destroying families of fish, right? And for no reason, because we put them back in the water anyway. It's not like we eat them. So it's coming to a good cause, you know, if we ate them, because I'll be satisfied, my hunger will be gone, but it's not even going to that. We're just putting them back in the water. So I was a bit annoyed at that, and he started laughing because I'm a funny guy. What's the point of this story? I don't know. No, I'm joking. I've done this before. The point of this story is that, well, I'm not even finished with the story. Anyway, I'm in the middle. Sorry. But after that, I kind of had a conversation with my brother, and he said it took him about a year and a half to get good at fishing. And sometimes we can lose our patience. And when we lose our patience, and when we lose endurance or whatever, we let it disrupt our peace and we let it disrupt our hope within us. And I'm not saying that just specifically for fishing, but it could be you're studying for your schoolwork and you just can't quite get the answer. Or you're studying for this exam, or you're studying for the end of module test and you just can't quite get the answer. And it's very easy to start speaking negative words over yourself. And I was doing that as well. And then my brother was speaking to me. I got hyped up again. He helped me. I got hyped up. My next throw was perfect. Hallelujah. So I threw it, went right into the water, and met Eamon. And then it sat there. And then you let it be for 2-3 minutes to see if any fish bite. And so after I left it 2-3 minutes, I went to pull the line just to see if there was any fish. And I felt something. Right, I felt something on the line, and I was over the moon. You know what I'm saying? I was over the moon, and I was pulling. I was like, this is going to be a big fish. This is going to be bigger than my brother Chris's. And that's all I was thinking about. I was thinking about competition. So I was like, this is going to be big. And I pulled it, and it came out. And do you know what came out? A really big clump of mud from the bottom of the floor. And it was devastating. And I didn't know how much when we put our emotions on something, on a person, on a thing we do, how much it can make our emotions go up and down like this. In any situation in our life, whether it's school, whether it's friendship groups, whether it's parents, whether it's letting people down, our emotions can sometimes get the better of us and we can lose our hope and our vision. And I don't want to be too long because I know I spent a lot of time on that story, more than what I thought. But we're going to quickly play a game. It's called Bible Sword Draw. Have any of you played that game before? No. I need 3 volunteers, please. All right, 1. Miriam, 2. And Virgil's going up 3. All right, so just give me 1 second. I will get my Bibles from the back. Thank you. All right. All right, okay. So, in this game, do you know why it's called Bible Sword Draw? What is the Bible? It is the sword. The Bible says when it talks about the armor of God, it's the sword. All right, the word is the sword. Oh, the reason why that Bible is quite crusty is because I dropped it in a hot tub. Different story. it's got writing on it. But the reason why it's quite crusty, I was doing Bible study in a hot tub, dropped it in accidentally, yada, yada, yada. Anyway, so put the Bibles underneath your armpit, please. Like this. So not your other hand isn't touching it. So like this, I want you to find the Bible verse of Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. The winner of this, as soon as you find it, read it aloud as you can and I'll come to you with the mic. So it's Isaiah. I-S-A-I-A-H. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Are you ready? Are you ready? Arms like this so I know you're not going to learn. All right, ready? 3, 2, 1, go. Old Testament if you need help. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Let's go. Verse 6 and 7.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and on forever and ever.
Amen, amen. All right, well done, Miriam. Here we go, take your seats. Thank you, that was it. You were close, folks. You were close. All right. So in this verse, it says, unto us a child will be born, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. This is an Old Testament prophecy of someone saying that Jesus is going to be born, and he is going to be called all of these things. And when I look at this verse and it says, he will be called Wonderful Counselor. Do you guys know what that means? It's when we are upset, when we are feeling lonely, when we have no peace or any joy in us, right? When we feel like we've got rejection, when we feel like we're not satisfied, Jesus is our counselor. He makes us feel better. But we need to spend time with him to do it. Say if I was over here and my brother lived in New Zealand, would I be close to him? No. Okay, let's put it another way. Let's say there's a fire right here. If I was standing right next to the fire, would I be hot? Yes. If I was standing here, a little bit further away, would I still feel the warm? Maybe a little. But if I was stood all the way over here, would I feel the warm? No. No was the answer I'm looking for. Anyway, I wouldn't feel the warmth of the fire when I'm further away, right? And that's what it is with God. God wants to counsel us, but we need to get close to the fire to feel the presence and the joy and the peace that God wants to provide for us. Because God wants to provide you with peace. He doesn't want you feeling lonely. He doesn't want you feeling rejected. He doesn't want you feeling alone. He doesn't want you to feel like you've got no one to talk to. Especially at this Christmas period, because I remember when I was your age and when I was picking my GCSEs, or when it was coming to my GCSEs, or when it was coming to my sixth form A-level exams, I was stressed. I went to California in 2016, absolutely stressed because of my A-levels. I went for Christmas and I could barely focus on what was there because I just let it sink into me of what happens if I fail? What happens if I don't get the grades I need to get into university or to go to Bible college or to do any of the things I want to do? What happens if I don't get the grades? And I was really, really worried. But what the Bible says is when we put our hope in God, he will be with us. When we choose to say, God, I'm going to surrender at your feet. I'm going to come to you. I'm going to place my hope in you. He will be your hope. That's what the Bible says. And just like me in the story, where my brother, in the for my second wind of fishing, where I threw the perfect line for the first and only time, my brother encouraged me and helped me. The same thing happens when we spend time with Jesus. He gives us the peace. He gives us the joy. He gives us the hope. He is the hope for all of us, not only to make us feel better, but for guidance, for help. Anytime we go through a storm or circumstance, He is there to pick us up. And I want to go to another Bible verse, if we can pull it up on the screen. The next one, I believe, is Philippians 4:7, chapter 4:7-9. And it says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if any of these things is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learnt and received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Sometimes we can focus so much on the negative things in our life, but if we focus more on all the good things in our life, and if we focus on the beautiful things in our life, and we thank God for what He's put in our life, then God, the peace, we will feel the peace of God a lot more with us. But sometimes we can put our hope in people and what they think of us, instead of putting our hope on what who Jesus is and what He thinks of you. Because people can let us down. I let myself down all the time, but I've let people down, people have let me down. If we focus on people's opinions, if we focus on trying to please people, trying to please someone, at some point they're going to let us down, or we're going to let them down, and we're going to fall short. But when we put our hope in God and we put our hope in Jesus, He never falls short for us. And so when we go to Him to be our hope, and we go to Him to be our peace, because He loves you so much. The Bible says that though two sparrows are sold for a penny, not one of them will fall out of the Father's care. And the Bible says He knows how many hairs are on your head. He cares about you so much. He places so much value on your life. The Bible says there is no greater love than this, than a man who lays his life down for a fellow person. And Jesus laid down His life for you. And so I'm drawing to a close, but there's this worship singer who I absolutely love. Her name is Tasha Cobbs. Do you guys know who that is? Only a few of you. Okay, I thought she'd be a little bit more popular than that. She's got a great voice. She sings a lot of amazing songs. But in this one particular song that recently came out, called In the Room, I don't know if you've heard it. It's got Maverick City. Who knows who Maverick City are? I'm guessing you guys know who they are. She sung the song with them. But in the song, she shares her testimony on rejection, on how she felt. And we're just going to watch that now if we can. So if you could please look to screen, that would be phenomenal. Who loved that song? Just that little bit of singing. It gets always amazing. She is a fantastic, fantastic, fantastic singer. But what she was saying there in her testimony is that she felt depression, and she struggled with rejection. But Jesus didn't come to this world to reject you. But He came to this world to bring you into His family. And He wants to give you peace. And He wants to give you joy. And sometimes we can let situations and people and circumstances affect the joy, the peace, and the hope that we have. But when we remember that Jesus is always with us, and we remember that whoever we go to, or when we go to Jesus, whatever the circumstance, He will never fail us. He will never leave us. Just as Peter, who stepped out of the boat, everyone says, have faith like Peter, have faith like Peter. He stepped out of the boat. But when he started sinking, Jesus didn't reject him. Jesus didn't say, you have little faith, swim back on your own. But what Jesus done is he picked him up out of that water and he went to the boat. Jesus wants to give you that helping hand. And so, just as I finish, we're going to pray. I think the worship band are going to come up again. No? Okay. But I'm going to pray over us. And if you feel like you're struggling with any of this, feel free to come talk to us leaders and we'll pray with you. We'll talk to you about it. Because God is there to give you a helping hand. He is the reason for the season. Because of what Jesus done, he is our hope and he is our future. If we just put our hope in him, he will give us the peace we need. So with every eye closed, every head bowed, every tongue confesses the name of Jesus. No. Father God, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you, Lord, that you never leave us, that you never forsake us, that you never reject us. Even though people fail us, even though sometimes we may feel upset or lonely or down or depressed or stressed or anxious, God, we can go to you and you will give us a hope and you will give us peace. Lord, I pray for these young people here today, no matter how old they are, that they will feel your presence here today, that they will feel your love, that they will feel your peace and your joy, and that as they go and celebrate Christmas, they will remember who you are and why you came to this earth to give them hope. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.